This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 2987 for Tuesday, the 14th of January 2020. Today's show is entitled World of Commodore 2019 Episode 5, New Games from Double-Sided Games. It is hosted by Paul Quirk and is about 38 minutes long and carries a clean flag. The summary is a presentation by Jeremy Marcin of Double-Sided Games.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello, good listeners of Hacker Public Radio. This is Paul Quirk, returning with my fifth episode of my World of Commodore miniseries. By the time this podcast hits the feed, we will already be in the second week of January, but the World of Commodore is the gift that just keeps on giving. I truly hope you're enjoying this miniseries during the cold, dark days of winter in the Northern Hemisphere. In this episode, Jeremy Marcin of Double-Sided Games is presenting the latest games for the Commodore line of computers. I think it's remarkable that we still have publishers developing innovative, new games for these vintage machines. We got to hear Jeremy in the first episode of the miniseries, but in this presentation, he goes into great detail about the development process. As usual, this presentation included visuals that are not available in this audio podcast. I do have pictures at my personal, non-commercial website at pquirk.com, but you can also go to the Toronto Pet Users Group YouTube channel to see and hear this presentation. That's Toronto Pet Users Group, spelt as one word, without spaces, and with the word users as plural. A link to this YouTube channel will be available in the show notes. And so, with no further ado, I present to you new games from Double-Sided Games by Jeremy Marcin.
Yeah, I've got my groupie here. Okay, so I'm here to show you what's going to happen this year and what quickly happened this year. This current year, and what's it going to happen next year. All right, so for those who don't know me yet, Double-Sided Games is publishing new games for all computers. Since 2019 officially, but we started in 2018, the first release game was La Baie des Morts, which I'm the only one to say properly, I think, in January. We started selling it in January, in fact. It was a very good success. I've made Double-Sided Games a proper company in May, so it's now an official owned company, registered at least. And since the beginning, so since January 2019, we sold a bit more than 410 box copies, so it's a bit more now because I sold a few today, so it's more like 420 something. And a bit more than 450 digital copies, knowing that a good chunk of them are La Baie des Morts. It's a good two-thirds, I think. So, so what happened in 2019 to get there? So first was La Baie des Morts, which I was talking about recently. So for those who don't know the game, it's a platformer that was ported from a free game that was made originally for the PC that looked like a crappy Spectrum game. So we made it look good, like a 64 game should look good. Two guys came to me with the project, was Saul Cross and Antonio Savona. It took about 6 months to make the game, and Antonio is a high-grade coder, so the physics, everything in the game, if you don't know it, are on spot. It's just unbelievable. The controls are really, really spot on. So I will state for, because everybody's asking me that, I don't have any more physical copies of the game because I have an agreement with the original author of the game that made the game for PC to not sell more than a certain amount. I'm working on making more, but we need to work on copyright issues and stuff like that to go overboard and make more copies, because I've got many, many, many requests per week for cartridges for the game. And also I want to note that there are counterfeit cartridges going around on eBay.
You should be like proud.
So mine is, I don't have a picture, I should have brought a picture, but mine is transparent and it's got a flat sticker, plastic sticker. And the other one is black and it's got like a bumpy sticker on it, so please don't buy it. Thank you. it's not a real one. They just copied everything. I don't know what they did, but they copied it. And they are selling it for £30, which is a thief, I would say. But anyway, and he's selling them quite good. So I'm trying to make them go down, but it's not easy with eBay. Next game that came out was Fire. So Fire was offered to me by a German developer, Rainer Kapler. The game was finished when he came, offered it to me. So didn't have much to follow to do. The game was, we just tweaked a bit the part with the second level of the game. So basically, you're a fire engine and you have to go on the streets, and it's like Ghostbusters if you played it. You have to go out in the streets and put out the fire, so when you go to the fire, then you switch to the road style mode and avoid the cars until you get to the building and save the people that are jumping from the building. And then when you're done, you go back here, but the game is slightly faster and it goes faster and faster and faster for 60 levels, and I couldn't get over 6 or 7, so it's very, very fast at some point. It needs a 3K RAM expansion, which is fairly common, so that's fine. I still have a few boxed edition of this one, but it's mostly digital sales. Next one was Realms of Quest. So it's a full-blown RPG that uses the 32K expansion. It's on two floppies, four sides, and it's a huge, huge, huge game. The guy that he's from Alberta, so it's a Canadian game. He did everything by himself, which is crazy. He worked 2.5 years on it, and so the box comes with cool stuff like a cloth map and a coin and a very thick 60 pages manual with everything detailed inside, the rules of the game. And many, many, many things that he did everything by himself, which is crazy. It's if you play like Ultima or all these SSI games, like all these RPG from SSI, yeah, it's the same kind of game. It is. I'm proud to say that because it's true. It's the biggest game for the VIC-20 ever, and I'm sure of it because it's just crazy. And just so you know, so. First batch I made was version 1.0. There was another batch made, the one I'm still saying is version 1.1. He added more stuff, and he's working on version 1.2, which won't have a physical version, but will be digital available and for everyone. He's putting more stuff in the game. There was not enough, so more storylines, more people to meet, more things to do. The next guy came up was Vegetables. So it's a match 3 game, very simple, like Candy Crush, but was also a great success. It was inspired by, so Mike Richmond did it by himself, all by himself. Andrew Cashmore, which is not, he's here. He's the one that did the cover, graphics. The title graphics and then the cover graphics were made by Tenshu, my friend, which only replicated what Andrew did. So the good thing about that game, so in the like almost at the end of the production of the game, Mike told me, "Oh, I might as well do an Amiga version." I'm like, so I just started marketing everything. So But he didn't want to sell it as a proper edition because he thought it was like another side game he would do. So it's just bundled. So whatever version you buy, the boxed or the digital version, you will get the Amiga version as digital download with it. So you can play it. It's the same game. It's just got better graphics, and that's about it. So this one recently came out. And the last one in date is Black Dawn Rebirth, of course. So this one came out a week ago, 6 days ago. So it's a sci-fi dungeon crawler like Dungeon Master, Eye of the Builder, etc. It was a long process to build it too. It took about a year, I think, a little less than a year. I've met Sean Waters, he's the designer and coder. He did already 7 episodes of Black Dawn back in the 90s. They were public domain games. And I've met him on Twitter in a conversation on Indie Retro News. And we came across and he said, oh, I like these games. I used to do this kind of game. And I just said, why don't you do another one? And there you go.
There okay. It
is. So Mike did the music as usual. So Mike did also vegetables, but he's a musician. That's his first thing. Tenshu did the graphics, and Colin helped with the intro code and the installer code for the game. So the game just came out now, but I have a small delay with the floppy provider, so I've got the boxes and everything, the manuals. I don't have the floppies yet, so people that pre-ordered are waiting for it still, but it should come out next week, I hope. So a bit of the graphics of the game. So you did. I'm running the game on my table. Most of you, if you played, you only saw the first level, but there are 6 different sets of graphics for the game. This is in the final level, so it's a bit of a spoiler. Sorry. And this is like 2/3 of the game. This level is just after this one. So got a couple of ugly monsters. So what I'm about to do now is, if I can, I'm not sure I can, and I will ask for your patience because I'm about to load a floppy. If you want to, I can show you the intro of the game, which was really well done by Tenshu again. I'm not sure the sound will go out properly.
I hear some.
You hear the floppy.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Let's wait for it to load. It's a 1-minute intro. It sets out the story of the game and tells you what is going to happen. I even put the raster lines for you. You see them? Can we hear them?
Well,
there you go.
Can we push the sound up, or is there a way to control it? I don't know, I'm looking for Leaf, but he's not here.
Oh, there it is.
No, the sound is coming from elsewhere.
That's the speaker up there.
It's
the
speaker.
I'm looking for... Oh. Oh, sorry, it's stretched out. I don't like it. Sorry for that.
There's that jitter.
Yeah, emulation is the jitter, so don't bother. Tenshu always puts small, you know, things like that in his games. So. very low that sets you in the mood for the game. Too bad there's more, not enough sound, but that's fine. So only the intro took a good 3 weeks to do, at least. It seems easy like this, but it's a complex process. Okay, play from current side over here. All right. Oops. What is it doing here? Come on. There you go. Okay, so what's coming next year? So first, we have Winterdane. So Winterdane is a first-person dungeon crawler again, but it's a rogue style this time. So it means that all the levels are generated each time you enter the game. It's a new level. It's built on the spot, and it's always changing. So as any rogue style game, you have to go further possible. And there's not really an end goal, but you have to go as far as possible. It's in early stages, very early stages, but still it's on hiatus even as we are talking now. John Lunningdale, which started to code with Soulcross, what I'm about to show you, he did that in 3 weeks, I think. Yeah. And it's like the game is already almost done. But no, it's missing game mechanics and some rules and stuff like that, but it was incredible. So it will be on digital and on cartridge too, maybe floppy, not sure yet. I have no release date for this one yet because it's on hiatus, as I said. But it should be here before the end of the year for sure. Good thing is also you have mouse support, so you can go around with your C64 mouse and grab the stuff on the ground and stuff like that. So here's a small video of it. If it runs? Yes, it runs. So you fight monsters, and you have that map with the fog of war that, you know, shows your map as long as you walk towards it. And you can set up, so you have a limited equipment, of course. You can add some stuff on your weapon. These are your specs, and each time you die, there will be a new character appearing. It's a rogue game, so you're never the same person. It's really fast for a C64 game. It's just pretty amazing. Next game, and I love the title. So this game was... Emiliano is doing that game. I think he contacted me a month ago, not even, maybe a month ago. The game was already very advanced. It's a puzzle game, and with a very nice twist, I find. He's currently adding two-player support, so it's not really working at the moment, but I can show you a bit of screenshots and movie video. So the goal of the game, of course the screenshot I cut down, but you have a fan here that you can move around from left to right. You can see it better here, maybe. And you have to push up the bubbles, and they have a countdown inside them. You have to push them up until the countdown is down to zero. If they touch some of the squares here, they blow up, and you lose lives. And you have some bonuses going down. And the goal is to make the highest score, of course. The thing is, there's some kind of energy, let's say a battery on the fan, and it goes down. And the only way to power it up again, you have to go on one side. Each of the sides are a place where you can recharge the energy while the bubbles are going down. And he's currently implementing the two-player mode, which you can play cooperatively or once against the other. So here's a small video about it. It's a very fun game. I like it a lot. And it's a bit frustrating at the same time. Oh. So it's the same as Vegetables. Emiliano, that's his first game, assembly game for the C64. So
wow.
He did a great job, I find. You see when... I don't know if I did it already because I recorded the video earlier, but when you go there, you just replenish mm-hmm. your life and go on. So, and every time you change your level, you've got a different setting. There are multiple levels. I don't remember how many each exactly, but and some different options can pop down and help you get more score or make different things with the bubble. So, and of course, as long as your code is going to be harder and harder. So this is also the next big game, I think. It's another RPG, but it's got a twist to it. So Roy contacted me 2 months ago, maybe? Well, Mike introduced me to Roy, in fact. Mike Richman again. And he had that game very pretty well advanced again, but he's still working on it. It's a top-down RPG with very simple graphics, but it's like I played it and was hooked up as you know, when I started playing it. I don't know what's to it, but it's great. It's hard to explain. But the thing is, it's a bit, so I had to find the word because my English is poor. It's a bit racy. So if you play Leisure Suit Larry, you should be happy about it. But it's not too much, but it's on the spot. Knowing that within the game, you will encounter like very good-looking elves and you know other tactile persons. And you can collect, because when you meet them, there's a full screen opening when you see where you see a bitmap graphics of that person. And you can unlock them like in a proper, actual modern game. And you can, well, whatever. So there are 20 maps to explore and 9 dungeons and 36 types of monsters. And the interesting thing that he did, he implemented a randomly generated weapons and armor system. So you can have thousands of combinations. You never find the same weapon. You never find the same armor. It's just, you take it. It's random. You just find them. Yep.
Are like the pictures changed too, depending on what the weapons are, or is it more like the stats that's randomly generated?
No, you will see the graphics change on the character, but it's very small and very. But so this is the game itself. I will show you a video afterwards. And all the, I mean, he put some incredible effort in the discussions on the text. It's just amazing. I'm laughing and playing the game. I'm laughing. So, you start the game dreaming about an elf that you were. Okay. That's a kid here. And in fact, when you wake up, you're kissing a cat. So the game starts like this. I'm like, okay. And you go, so in fact, for the whole game, he's looking for that elf in particular. He's trying to find her wherever he can. But on the way, people are asking him to do like quests and favors, so he has to do them because those people know where the girl is, but they don't want to tell until he does the quest, for example, stuff like that. So this is a fight when the fights are happening. You can see the options here that you have, depending on the weapon you're carrying and the monster you've got. For a few, this is actually a chicken you're fighting. So you see the chicken can peck, crow, rub, and peep. First, before I come back, I will show you the video. There's an init crow where you choose which character starts, and then you can only choose one of the four, and when the four are used, you can't fight anymore. So something is happening, either you flee or one of them is dead. It's pretty well made. And the combats are really fast, so you don't spend too much time doing them. You've got your full stats here, inventory here. It's a very small inventory of, I think, 4x4 items. And this is a dungeon view. So this is your character. And each time there's a new piece of armor, helmet, whatever, you see the differences, they change. Yes.
What's
so
ouch?
Sorry?
What's ouch? Under life.
Oh, it's when you are like plagued by something. So this is the map he's drawn using a tool, but I'm I intend to have that map on a cloth map, like we did for Realms of Quest. Now that I have the now that I know how to do it, I have the providers for that. So here's a quick video of the game. It's just, there's something about that game. It's just amazing. So you go around. So Mike did an incredible job at the music too. He's doing more as we speak. So you can randomly search like shelves or places you can sleep if you need to rest for your life when you find a bed somewhere. It's pretty funny. Yeah, you go around, you talk to people. And it doesn't unlock stuff, but they give you hints to where to, as to where to go and what to do next. So here I'm going to a fight with chicken.
Of course.
So I'm running after them because, you know, it's a chicken, so... I can throw a fireball at a chicken. It's just, so you see, this is all the combats are happening. It's pretty fast. Then, oh, sorry, I switched to something else. Oh, this is the old Crown's hut. She's not very nice, I can tell you that. Yeah, I wanted to show you a quick view of the world when you move around in the world. So we might, not sure yet, but we might change the graphics a bit for that part. But I find them okay still, so. But we might have someone redo the tiles. Not sure yet. But this game is crazy good. So it will be only on one floppy. We don't intend to have a cartridge version because there is a save system. So, yeah. We could have an external floppy for saves, but it's not very optimized. So this is it for... this is it for the C64. Next game is for the Amiga. So this one, nobody heard of yet. It's again made by the amazing Tetsu. And I can assure you that, but we are still... let's start again. The game is made in Amos, okay? Amos can't support AGA. It's a known fact, there's issues with it, you can't support it. But there's a guy in France, actually, doing another version of Amos, working with François, the guy that made Amos in the first place. He's making an AGA version of Amos for everybody to use, which is great, because we were waiting for that, to use more colors in the Amiga. So currently the game is about 70 colors, but it might be more like 200 colors when it's out. But we are not sure yet, so I don't want to, you know, promise anything. The coder, the ID of the game is Michael, I should say Michael because he's in France, but it's Michael Gibbs. He's done some other project back in the days. These are the graphics.
Wow.
So it's an action platformer, and most of the levels are sliding towards you all the time, so you have to move forward at all times. There are different stages in the game. There's a shoot demo phase. A more normal phase. You can unlock that Super Metal Hero armor, and when somebody touches you, hits you, you lose the armor and you can get it back again. And you can finish in your underpants. It's another Tenchu thing. He liked that. So the game is really great and it's running pretty good. When he told me it was Amos, I couldn't believe it. Because it's really fast, and if there are some slugginess, it's because it was recorded on emulation again. Mm. So we don't have sound for now, so there's no sound.
Break your own sound.
Yeah. So I think he can't even die yet. So he's going around. He's going around shooting people. And it's only for the show. I love the crab. So it's a bit blurry.
What was the shooting afterwards?
Sorry.
it looked like she shot her bullet after she was like.
Yeah. It's a work.
She shot her bullet. It stayed there.
Oh.
And after she died, it started moving.
Okay. Thanks.
Very Tokusatsu look on this one.
The bullet went to Avenger.
Yes.
You know, we have fun usually when we work on the games because stupid things are happening. So you see, it's pretty impressive scrolling for Amos, because Amos is really not done for that normally. But
the dinosaur needs to have like lasers.
Yeah. We need laser cats, maybe too.
Yeah. Well, that's for the other games.
Yeah.
With the cat. That
yes. The last one is Shadows of Sargoth. So I talked about it already last year when I came, but things have moved forward in a different, somewhat different direction. So it's another dungeon crawler game. If you recall what I said last year, it's a game that was originally on the Amstrad CPC computer from European Computer. The game was amazing, so I wanted to port it. So this is the only game that is at my initiative, in fact. This is when Colin joined. I asked him if we wanted to do it, and Tenshu joined again, and Mike joined again. But originally, Soul Cross was doing the graphics and the music, and then he went on to other projects, so we had to decide if we could compete. I wanted to continue the game, so he was Tenshu, and Mike replaced him, in fact. So we redid everything. So it's not looking at all like I showed you, the things I showed you last year. It's a completely new graphics. So this is what it looks like now. So it's more medieval. The other one was a bit steampunk, slightly steampunk. But the original game was medieval, so this is fully medieval game now. It's pretty far advanced. The difference, another thing that we have put forward and that we want to grow is that there will be a map editor with it. And my intent is to build a community around it so people can create their own maps or packages of maps with new graphics and new whatever, and then have a place to put them for everyone on my website so that they can download them and just use them, you know, import them and use them as they go.
Browse the rest of your website.
Sorry?
Continue to browse the rest of your website.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Because my idea was to have a separate website. But that's a good idea. So the game is pretty far in the development now. I hope we can have it out for, like, maybe June or maybe a bit before. It should be on only two or three floppies, I think. But yeah, the idea behind it is to have an open system where anyone can jump in and make their own game. It will still use the whole interface, but you can do your own maps and whatever. You can, so for Black Dawn, and any of, not the previous game, but for Black Dawn, Shadows, the RPG, the racy RPG, Don't Break the Balls, all those games, you can come to my table and try them. I've got them all here. So if you want to give it a try, just come to see me and I will put them on. And even this one, I even have the editor if you want to try the map editor to try it. I've got everything here. Now time for questions if you have some. Because I've shown you everything I needed to show you today. Any questions?
No.
What time is it?
Just take my money.
Or no, shut up and
it's
take my money.
It's not that easy. Okay, so we are almost on time, so it's perfect. So if you don't have questions, I just want you to make sure that you follow us so you know what's happening with us, and also, I've got another project that was offered to me yesterday, but I need to test it more. But it's an incredible game for the Amiga, made by a Polish team. There are six people working on it. And it's a very, very advanced shooter. So I might be able to publish that one too. And they even have a version for the Atari ST. I was looking for one game for the Atari ST for so long.
How are you finding all these people with these, like, mostly finished games? Because, like, I follow, like, Indie Retro and all that sort of stuff, and some of these are, like, these are the first times I've seen, like, the names of, like, these games and stuff. Right? Like, where are these people? It seems like there's more people that are developing stuff than
Many people are developing games, but they don't think... I've come across many people that they don't think their project is good enough to be published.
Blog or talk about it on just like the sites that are like, you know, promoting C64.
I know, but they are very good developers, but they don't know to talk about their games.
So there's
so
like
this
a
is
huge
why,
like
this
untapped,
is where I come
like
in usually to try and help them, but there are so many projects around here. You know, it's just amazing, and it's you see within the first year I already have two guys making their first game for the C64, which is crazy when you think about it. And they were C64 users back in the day, but they just realized they should do something about it now. So. And so I'm waiting for more proposals because I'd love to do that and help people have boxed editions of their games.
Cool.
No more questions? That's fine. Okay, we'll go. Yeah.
Do the boxed editions come with the digital download?
Always.
Okay.
Always. You have to buy them through my website, and I still have to add them manually, but I do it. Like the next day, you should receive an email saying your digital download is ready now. So you just go back to your account and you can download it. Yep.
Can you remind us what the website is?
Sorry?
The address of the website?
Oh, it's doublesidedgames.com.
So doublesidedgames.com.
Nothing fancy. Yeah. It's just normal. Yeah.
Did you get doublesided.games as well?
Yeah. Yeah, I could. I think those domains are pretty expensive, though, right?
Not really. I've got a .games domain of my own.
Okay.
Like, yeah,
I thought they were 80
bucks a year.
How much you said?
Like 20 bucks a year.
Okay. I thought the .custom things were like more like 70.
It depends. It depends.
Okay. I know that Guru. Amiga.guru was bought. Too bad. No more questions? Okay, so that's it. Thank you, guys.
I hope you enjoyed Jeremy's presentation. And maybe, if you still have one of these classic Commodore computers, maybe stop by his website at doublesidedgames.com and buy yourself a modern game for your classic machine. If you're enjoying this series, please leave a comment at my personal, non-commercial blog at peakwork.com. And don't forget to tune in next week to listen to Greg's presentation entitled Introduction to C64 OS. Until then, please drive safe and make sure to have fun.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.